following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Hello, everyone. This is the latest Green 19 Packers podcast postgame. Minnesota Vikings beat the Packers 28-22 Sunday at Lambeau Field. I am Jim Ozarski, along with my co-host, Tom Silverstein. And Tom, look, I'm surprised. Matt LaFleur's team has, I've said this all year, they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. Minnesota's 1-5. I don't even know who was playing on the back end by the end of the game. I don't think Mike Zimmer. I was in on the Viking Zoom spoon, and Zimmer was even laughing. Like, we were just trying to plug holes and just do anything on the back end. They had a lot of guys get hurt during the game and couldn't finish. And yet Dalvin Cook, 30 carries, 163 yards. First player to ever go for over 200 yards of total offense, score 4 touchdowns at Lambeau Field. And, you know, that reared its head. We wondered when an opponent might just run the ball from start to finish. And Gary Kubiak and the Vikings did that.
Yeah. And the crazy part about it is this should not have been that day, because it should have been a one-sided, their offense should have been one-sided, which it was, but that the Packers should had the chance to play it that way. And they did. And here's the difference today was Mike Zimmer had to take out Davante Adams and Mike Pettine had to take out Dalvin Cook. And while Adams scored 3 touchdowns, 2 of them were goal line touchdowns, and he had 3 catches for 28 yards in the second half. And he with the secondary, where, you know, he had to borrow players from, I don't know, the EMTs or something to get out there, they managed to run his defense and shut him down. And as Rogers said, they played a little bit different scheme than they're normally used to. Now let's switch over to Pettine. He's pretty much full strength. You know, he's missing a cornerback. And he devises his whole game plan to stop Dalvin Cook. And the guy just runs right over him and scores all their points. And he tries to play a different defense by going base defense. And it's a disaster. Nobody knows how to play it. And they just get run over. It's talk about a tale of two teams, just embarrassing for the Packers.
And, you know, we have said this before, especially with the San Francisco games, Tom, you know, there has been games where, and this goes to Matt LaFleur and Mike Pettine, where they have been what you could call outcoached, you know, where Mike Pettine, you're right. I mean, Mike Zimmer is just doing whatever he can with whomever he can. Whereas Gary Kubiak, you know, Matt LaFleur said, well, we knew what they were going to do. And I that doesn't make it any better. You know, when you say, you know, what's coming and it can't stop. And you mentioned full strength. So, you know, they were without Raven Green. And as the game wore on, Vernon Scott had a shoulder, Will Redmond had a shoulder. I don't know how much time they missed, if at all, but it did feel like, Tom, there was a chance here. You've got Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes, you know, your two kind of traditional inside linebackers. You had Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage dropping down into the, I mean, and it just wasn't effective. And now, granted, I'll give the Packers this. They forced 3 punts in the fourth quarter. They gave the Packers offense a chance. Aaron Rodgers had 3 possessions in the fourth quarter to score twice. But the clock was their enemy at that point, because they could do just enough still, even against when Mike Pettine kind of tried to push his chips all in to stop Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, at least the offense has an excuse that it was missing its second best player, Aaron Jones. And, you know, the game could have been significantly different with Aaron Jones, or the offense. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but the offense would have been different. And it's still gained 400 yards without him. I don't really have a problem. I do agree that Rodgers couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter, and that's on his record. You know, he just couldn't. But the defensive thing just is insane, that they have all their guys. And this has happened before. And I was trying to remember what game it was that they went to base defense, and they just don't know how to play it because they never play it. He plays so much nickel that they just don't know how to play base. And, you know, guys are getting walled off. They got to the Vikings got to the second level all game long. And, you know, Cook, all he's got to do is get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's a 4-yard gain, because you're not going to bring him down. You're not going to stymie him at the line of scrimmage. He's going to drag you for 3 or 4 yards. You got to get him somewhere behind the line of scrimmage.
And they, and well, first of all, you're right, Tom. I mean, the Packers really didn't get a push in that regard. I mean, I can mention Kingsley Keke. It seemed like he was maybe in position once for a tackle for loss. And, but I mean, when you've got a
But he ran right out of his gap on that one. You know, he went upfield and Cook ran. I think that's the one you're talking about, right? And Cook ran right through that giant hole. You can't do that. That's insane. I saw Dean Lowry just get driven off the ball by about 6 yards. That can't happen. I don't know why that is happening with them, but man, it was ugly.
And, you know, it some of it, Tom, is, you know, when Kirk Cousins is going to throw it 14 times, and let's see, Dalvin Cook was the target on 3 of those. You know, you got Irv Smith had 1 target, 16. I mean, they weren't really pushing the ball down the field in a wind-riddled game. So Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary have to make an impact in run defense, Tom. And we saw Preston Smith on the 21-yard touchdown. Irv Smith just, I don't know. I mean, he didn't take Preston Smith 6 yards downfield, but he definitely turned him into a statue. I mean, you really didn't hear 91, 52, 55, you know, making any plays in that regard either.
No, it's on the players too. I mean, they got to run the defense, and you know, they're hurting in that they do not have 2 really physical safeties. Darnell Savage is, they may need to replace him because he's just too small. He misses so many tackles, and to get his speed in place of, you know, more of a sure tackler, I don't think it's worth it at this point. What is he doing with the speed that's making such a big difference? I don't know. And that's a question I think they got to ask themselves. That was really eye-opening.
Well, it is the same personnel from a year ago, Tom. Brian Gutekunst clearly felt that, you know, the status quo in terms of the talent was good enough, you know, or what could become of it. But you're right in terms of Savage Jr. We saw him be around last year, be around the ball. And I don't know if he's been taken out of some of that by design. I mean, the Packers have not had the over-the-top issue and the huge explosive receiver plays. Now they've given up now, what, 2 50-yard screens of running backs that they can't seem to tackle. But Raven Green missed the game. Will Redman again got hurt. So Tom, I don't even know Vernon Scott got hurt. That's part of the problem. I mean, this is the group. Who do you, if you think there's a personnel issue, who or where do you make those kinds of moves?
Yeah, I don't know. You conceivably, you got the best players playing. I could see Redmond playing starting safety. I don't know about Raven Green. But yeah, yeah, they don't have anybody who's probably, you know, able to move in there. But from that standpoint, there's no, not much accountability. He, when a guy plays bad, he needs to be off the field occasionally. So I don't know. I just think there's too many weaknesses in both the scheme and personnel. I still think it's more, a lot of it is scheme. I think they can win with this defense. I think there's enough talent, but I think you got to be able to stop the run now. I think Pettine's defense is starting to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, and just so folks know, I mean, they were 12th in the league in rushing coming into the game, you know, slightly above average. But as we all know, teams did not really stick with the run. Part of that is because of how well the offense would start. And for the seventh straight game, the only team in football, they march down the field. They take up, what, 7 minutes of the clock. They score a touchdown without, you know, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, Alan Lazard, Tom. It was efficient. It was smart. It was Jamal Williams in short throws. Same thing. They go up 14-7. Two possessions, two touchdowns. I mean, it was kind of like a high school wing tee football game in the first half.
Yeah, and the tight ends are active. You know, it was good football to start.
And so uncharacteristically – well, so here's what I thought was interesting. Let's put Tampa away. In all these other games, and they had been close-ish, I feel like the offense was never under pressure to have to score. So, and what I mean by that is there was enough complimentary football this year, Tom, where they could get up to, I mean, even Detroit, I know they were down two scores, but it just felt like the Lions were overmatched with what they were trying to do. And Davante Adams and those guys were, and that's what happened. But the fact that I thought Minnesota answered each score with a score. And then when the Packers had an uncharacteristic holding penalty on Elgton Jenkins or Mercedes Lewis, or the ball sailed away from Jay Sternberger, you know, when he's wide open because of the wind is, and then they had to do it. It felt like Jamal Williams was good at 4.5 a pop, but he was not going to give you 8 or 15 like Aaron Jones could. And as you said, Davante Adams, you know, Zimmer clouded, he just muddied all that up. It just felt like when they needed to, and that pressure was on Tom, they couldn't pull out that play or those plays to then, you know, either go up 21-14 or they're tie the game.
Well, you know, usually when you play that kind of cloud coverage on Davante Adams, you're going to pay for it a little bit with Aaron Jones. He's going to either hurt you in the passing game or the running game. And then even if you double Adams and it's a day you can throw the ball effectively, you still got a chance to hurt them. You know, you got there's those tight ends are pretty good and they're being pretty productive. But you know, yes, they could use another receiver, and Equanimee St. Brown has been a disappointment. I think they're okay there. I think they'll be okay on offense. They should have done better, but they just don't have anybody but Davante Adams who's explosive. You know, Irvin is a threat to be explosive, but I think the best thing they do is not give him the ball because it just remains a threat. Nobody really knows what he can do with it. So, it was a bad fourth quarter for them. They needed somebody to just make a huge play. They needed to hit that ball to Sternberger. That was big. And then those holding penalties were huge.
And that's something the Packers just haven't done this year, Tom. I think their penalties in the second half alone almost matched their season total, if not matched the season total. I mean, Elgton Jenkins and Mercedes Lewis, they're normally not called for holding. And I even right now couldn't tell you who's pass rushing for the Vikings. I mean, that was part of this, right? Where that was something where Aaron Rodgers shouldn't have been under pressure. Now, he wasn't sacked until the last play of the game, which to me, that kind of stuff is fluky anyway. But I mean, look, first and 20, second and 20, first and 30. I mean, that it felt like they shot themselves in the foot to a degree, Tom, on a day when it's 30 miles an hour and it's not ideal for Aaron Rodgers to throw it 40 times. It just seemed like that, not, you know, I give the Vikings credit. I do, but it feels like the Packers kind of got caught in the wind a little bit, just like literally and figuratively, I guess, by hurting themselves in the second half.
Yeah. I don't think there's any disagreement there. You can complain about the penalties all you want, but sometimes you got to overcome them. And I think they got a little too greedy at times. I thought every series should have been, or at least any series that crossed the 50-yard line should have been a four-down series, because of the punting and the kicking was rough. So you should have taken it like, okay, we got four downs to get the first down. It's first and 20. All we got to do is get 5 yards each time. So I think they kind of lost that in the fourth quarter and sort of lost that thought process.
To your point, Tom, Aaron Rodgers did distribute at least one reception to 10 different pass catchers. You asked about Equanimeous St. Brown during the week. You wrote about him in your five things. I'd be remiss. Look, when you lose by one possession, little things matter. And probably the best thrown football of the day was that third and 10.
Yeah.
To him in coverage. He did catch it initially and didn't hold on to it, falling to the ground. And then on Harrison Smith in the end zone, time, I mean, he gave the 6'5 kid a jump ball that he also got his hands on. I know he hasn't played a lot of football yet. I mean, that's a tough deal, I think. I think in this kind of offense, if Adams is having just an okay day out between the 20s, you need that guy to make the catch, right? You need him to kind of be there for you. And that was, I'm sure, disappointing to not just him, but Rodgers, LaFleur. It's a different ball game. If not to pick on him, but in all reality, I mean, those were really the only kind of couple passes, Tom, that the Packers, I guess, literally let slip through their hands a little bit.
Yeah, and I still wonder what do they have to do to get MVS the ball? That's just a mystery to me that he can't get open. He should have been enjoying all the benefits of Adams. Now, because they're playing cover two, he probably couldn't, pop the top off of the defense, but he's got to be good at all routes and he's got to work the middle some. And I don't know. He made one decent catch, one good third down catch, I think. But what did he finish with? One catch for 19 yards, one target. So I can't believe Rodgers wouldn't have been throwing it to him if he was open all the time. So something's wrong. He's not getting open.
Yeah, it was, and we'll circle back to this here at the very end when we're done talking about the game here in terms of playmakers for the Packers. And on one hand, we could say there's a lack thereof. On the other, you could say, well, at sometimes the guys they have to, if you only get two opportunities, sometimes you have to catch both of them or three of them. You mentioned Tyler Irvin and the explosive part. We tracked Mason Crosby's warmups. We knew the south end zone was going to be a disaster. The teams, Packers went for it on fourth down, I think five times, the Vikings once. No field goal attempts. J.K. Scott kicked off. Mason Crosby looked like he could make it from 40 out if he needed to. But Darius Shepherd started at kick returner, punt returner, Tom. And then in the fourth quarter, Tyler Irvin's back there to return the last punt. Has a 9-yard gain. And the reason I bring this up is because on one of the kick returns, there was a huge hole off to the right, and there it was a, you know, Darius Shepherd got out to the 27 yard line, and our colleagues Ryan Wood and Pete Doherty, I mean, we all saw that just parting of the seas, and Shepherd didn't angle that way. I mean, maybe that's not where the kick was supposed to go. Fairness to him, but I don't know. I mean, on a day like today, especially in that second half, Tom, was that a missed opportunity to maybe get Tyler Irvin, your more explosive returner? I mean, they clearly thought about it at the end of the game. Did they miss an opportunity maybe in the kick return game?
I don't get it at all. Why is he good enough to do it at the end but not good enough to start? And I think we're talking about the same return. I saw one where the hole was huge. It closed really fast, but it was big. I don't know if that's the same one you guys saw, but it had to be hit by a guy who could get to a second level, you know, whose speed can get to another level because it's closing so fast. But if he gets right through it, that's a huge gain. And Darius Shepherd just doesn't have the wheels to do that. And he actually cut it back inside and it turned out to be not much. So I don't get that. Why would you save him for the end and not use him in the beginning?
Yeah, it was an interesting kind of on a day when special, you would think, Tom, special teams would have mattered. With J.K. Scott kicking and squib kicks and weird punts and wind, for the most part, special teams played no factor in the game. J.K. Scott had a great coffin corner kick, in the fourth quarter that allowed, the Packers to maybe try to get the ball back. But, to wrap this one up, there's another game in 4 days. We mentioned the playmakers, the trade deadline will occur before our next podcast previewing the 49ers game, Tom. So let's just go there. You know, Packers fans, I'm sure you saw it in the blog. I know on Twitter, they're like, hey, here's another example of they need to add, they need something. NFL Network is saying, don't be surprised if Will Fuller is traded for. You reported on our last podcast, they did call about Dante Pettis. Where are you at with this? I mean, does Brian Gutekunst have to bite the bullet and send a second rounder to Houston? I mean, what for Will Fuller, where are they at here?
After tonight, I'm thinking they need some offense more than they need, defense more than they need offense, you know? But I don't know. I guess I would think about it if the price was right, if I could a second rounder. Whew. If I thought I was going to get some comp picks, maybe a third round comp pick, then I would definitely think about it. I don't know. Is Will Fuller that good? I know they like him and he's fast, but is he really like a true number two?
He's missed, I think 26 games in his career. At this point, he's played all seven this year. He's had his moments. He's got 11 games of 100 yards or more. He had a 200 yard game at one point. So he's a guy, Tom, you're right, that they know. Put it this way. To me, it feels like he could probably get open when you're wondering about why can't Valdez-Scantling get open. Mm-hmm. I feel like Fuller's that sort of deep threat that is open. Now, I could be wrong. That could just be Deshaun Watson, and the Texans quarterback saying, you're a guy I'm going to throw it to regardless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? DeAndre Hopkins was that way. Devontae Adams is that way. Where they kind of pile up some numbers because the ball's just coming to them. But
yeah, and they've played with DeAndre Hopkins too, where there's all kinds of non-double teams. Although that's what would happen with him in Green Bay.
I feel the reason I threw second round pick out there is, the Patriots kind of reset the market, sending a second rounder for Mo Sanu. I mean, the 49ers sent a third rounder to Denver for Emmanuel Sanders. So you're talking about. even for a rental. It's a high price tag, and it would be, put it this way, Tom, would it surprise you? Because that would be A, the Packers don't really make moves anyway. And then you'd be putting in some real draft capital. That's not just some fifth rounder.
Right.
You know, whether it's Will Fuller or not, I mean, you feel like that's the market, right? It's going to be a top three round pick.
Yeah. Is it a defensive lineman that you hope to get next year who can help you right away? Or is it, expendable? You know, their second round picks have been pretty decent. So that seems like a lot. And then, you know, his cap hit is pretty high. And does it affect whether you can re-sign the other guys? I don't know. I guess I just don't know enough about whether Fuller is a big-time player or if he's just a guy who's, you know, kind of on a hot streak.
It is interesting. And it's just a reminder for folks, again, nothing happens in a vacuum. As of, I think, the last public salary cap report, they were under $7 million in available cap room. Will Fuller, the prorated, he would miss the 49ers game, but somebody's got to pay him. And if he were to be acquired, and that would pretty much wipe out the cap space for the rest of 2020.
Right.
Yeah, and so
you're not carrying any of that over
right.
to re-sign Aaron Jones.
Right, which, you know, those are the hard decisions to make when you think, you can win a Super Bowl. So,
yeah, so I just looked it up while we're talking. He's got a $10 million base salary. So you pick him up now, you're using $5 million, basically half of it, based on the 17-week season. So, yeah, you'd be eating up a good chunk of what you got left.
So we will see, and you're right, maybe there is a pivot toward a different type of interior player. You know, I don't think a Don Terry Poe who gets cut in Dallas and then the owner/GM gets on radio and says he's fat and lazy and that's why he wasn't any good.
Yeah. And Quinnen Williams, that's not – I mean, that's a first-round pick probably. He's a big-time player. I don't know that they could add him. He's a defensive lineman for the Jets.
Yeah, so we will see. The trade deadline, for reminder again, is Tuesday. And real quick, Tom, before we exit, yes, the Packers lost in a game I thought they would win. They should have won 5-2. But, you know, the Lions, who thought they were on a hot streak, you know, they trade for Everson Griffin. They're doing all these things. Well, guess what? They're still the Lions. They get pounded. They're 3-4. The Dolphins change to a rookie quarterback and do everyone in the NFC a favor. They beat the Rams. So yeah. The Rams dropped to 5-3. The Saints beat the Bears. The Bears dropped to 5-2. And the 49ers, everybody else got hurt who was healthy. George Kittle left the game. Jimmy Garoppolo left the game. Tevin Coleman left the game. And yet they lost only by 10 to Seattle, scored 20 points with Nick Mullins at quarterback at 4-3. So, Tom, just bigger picture. What's your thoughts either both in the division or even the NFC as, yes, the Packers maybe dropped one you didn't think they would or they should, but other than Seattle winning, everyone else, like, they didn't lose any ground, put it that way.
No, they didn't. But I do think they're in for a fight. And, you know, right now, Chicago's defense and Green Bay's defense, light years apart. I think what was separating the Packers from everybody else was that they were more of a complete team than anybody else. And I really thought in the beginning of the year, the Vikings were going to be the other complete team. And, you know, they haven't been, but they're kind of on a roll. And Matt LaFleur was right. They had been playing really well. And I just think Green Bay, they got to watch out in the division. you know, they're going to have a hard time with the Bears. They really are. And they're lucky they're done with the Vikings. And then they got to play at the Lions. And the Lions, you never know what they're going to be. From week to week, they change. So I think this isn't going to be a walk in the park for them in the NFC North. I thought it would be at 5-1. I thought it was going to be, but now I'm not so sure.
I'm in the same boat. I am surprised if I thought this year they were going to split with the Vikings, Tom, I would have thought they would have lost the first week of the season. Not week 8 at home. And you're right about the Bears. Look, they're 4-0 in the LaFleur era, or 2-0 against the Bears. But Matt Nagy, well, this is a whole other thing maybe we'll have to get into. If Mike Pettine is still here at the end of November, Tom, I mean, Matt Nagy's offense does seem to give Mike Pettine's defenses some fits. So you're right. The division, those games in late November, December, could matter. So speaking of what matters.
Well, you know what? Let me just add one thing, Jim, because you just mentioned it. So let's say they get blown out by San Francisco. You got 4 days before you have to get back to work. Does he make a change with Pettine and go to Jared Gray?
So you drop 2 in a row, you're 5-3. I didn't think he was going to get fired after the NFC title game, Tom. I thought that was but I thought Mike Pettine was on the hot seat for this year. So I can see it. I can see Matt LaFleur being like, you know what? It hasn't changed. You know, 1 year, if we think what's going to happen in San Francisco happens, especially if it's Nick Mullins and my neighbor down the street running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's remember where this started for Mike Pettine. It's that 2018 game at Lambeau with CJ Beathard and these dudes who no one ever heard of, like even more so than who they are now, that almost beat the Packers here in 2018 in primetime. So this goes back a little bit now with Pettine and some of this stuff, to your point at the very start of this pod about, maybe the scheme is just not a fit for today's NFL. So yeah, Tom, you hired Jerry Gray, and let's be honest, I'm sure every Packers fan and every writer thought about it like, ooh, well, here's a guy that could coordinate a defense if need be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think what bothered me the most was that they just kind of, it looked to me like they kind of gave up, and they had terrible body language. They're looking around at each other like, you know, weren't you supposed to be here or there? And that's not a good sign. Now, the offense had one really bad game. That was against Tampa, and they looked like that. But, you know, they bounced back. So we got to see whether – I think you have to give them another game and see if they can correct all of that.
And that game is coming soon without much practice, if at any, depending on how guys come out of today's game health-wise, Tom. And you're right. I mean, and Jerry Gray, you know, Matt LaFleur mentioned the week of practice again, to a degree, the energy and how they have to bring it themselves because of no fans. And that wasn't at that level. Jerry Gray is a different type of personality than Mike Pettine, that's for sure. So, the Thursdays, I mean, it's a different guy. He's a different kind of guy. So, you know, you don't want to be that kind of boilerplate or cookie cutter, Tom, but sometimes that's just how this goes. And I would not be surprised. And let's face it, we would be on high alert late Thursday night or Friday morning if that doesn't go well. That's for sure.
Yep.
So, well, speaking of high alerts, go over and download the Packers News app. Turn on the alerts because the trade deadline's coming up. Who knows what other decisions might be made in the following week and all year long. You get the latest from Tom Silverstein, myself, Olivia Reiner, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood. If you're in Wisconsin or Milwaukee, go over to jsonline.com/deals, subscribe. Got some other stuff going on Tuesday and for the many months after. You're going to want to be on top of what's happening in your community with everything, health, public health, politics, and of course, sports. So subscribe, download the apps, turn on the alerts. And Tom and I, we're going to be back with you very soon to preview Packers 49ers. So for Tom, I'm Jim. We'll catch you on the next one.